Right. Chapter 6.
Moving on.
We discussed the idea that usually, all of the things being equal, unless something very strange is happening, if you've got a subject, an individual, a person, for which they receive an appetitive outcome for performing some behavior, they will most likely do that behavior in the future. So we'll call that reinforcement. So we're just going to do this sort of from this point on. We'll say that if an appetitive outcome is being delivered here, and if I call that as a if I call that reinforcement or a reinforcer, please take that as being read, assuming that we actually see an increase in behavior in the future. It's a shorthand, all right? Otherwise, I've got to keep saying this longer bit. You're going to get tired of it. I'm going to get tired of it. So we'll use the terms now, reinforcer and punisher, both in their absolute proper sense of this will lead to an increase in the behavior in future, and as this little shorthand. So take it as read that the rest of this sentence is included. Of course, I mean, in the real world, if you're trying to actually implement behavior change protocol, you've got to make sure that you actually have some outcome that is motivating, that really is appetitive, that you have not satiated on, all of these sorts of things. Now, given all of that, assuming that we have something that is appetitive and motivating, hasn't satiated, and will lead to an increase in the behavior, once we've got that, in terms of the response patterns, we tend to see fairly consistent, fairly standard patterns of responding. So the behaviors become a little bit formulaic. Once you get used to what you're looking for, you can usually say, ah, this behavior is being caused by this kind of schedule. Now, the standard way since, the 1940s, the standard way that people who study operant behavior in the laboratory use to collect data on reinforcement systems is with a technique called a cumulative recorder. It's actually a machine. And B.F. Skinner built the first cumulative recorder. Now, the cumulative recorder, unimaginatively enough, produces what's called a cumulative record. Basically, the cumulative record is just a graph. Okay? When Skinner built his very first cumulative recorder, physical device, what he basically did was have a little motor that drove a little spool, and this little spool would pull a strip of paper from one side to the other. So it would spool off one side and re-spool onto the other. In terms of how big was this thing of paper, well, 100 odd feet long of paper, but only about that wide. If you visualize the kind of rolls of paper that are in cash registers, right, that you get your little receipt ticka-ticka-ticka-ticka on, that's essentially what we've got here. Now, like I said, the cumulative record is just a graph. This is a picture of one right here. This looks a bit weird when you think of it as a graph, but that really is all we've got. The thing is, remember I said he did it on little spools of paper about yay wide, 2.5 inches wide, and he had a little pin. Every time a response was made, the pin would move up a little bit. So we're getting a line traced on this piece of paper. If the subject did not make any responses, then the pin would just drag along the strip of paper flat. Okay? So if there are responses being made, the line is going to sort of stagger upwards. If it's flat, it means the subject is not pressing the lever, or the, you know, if it's a rat, or the pigeon's not pecking at the key, whatever it is. What's happening here is we've just gotten to the top of the paper. Okay? And so to manage to do more than just a few responses in the course of a study, Skinner just had the little pin drop back down. So if you will, imagine this is a graph that's just been cut up into lots of little short bits. Give you an example in a minute. So, take home from this slide is, if there is a slope to the line, the subject is responding. The faster the subject is responding, the steeper that slope is going to be. The more shallow the slope is, the slower it's responding, and if the line is flat, there is no responding whatsoever. Your textbook talked about that actually back in something like chapter 2, I think. This is my cheapo animation of how this would work. So we've got a couple of spindles here, that one that takes up the paper and one that spools the paper off, and we've got a pin. If you're trying to visualize this, try visualing a lie detector device, right? It's got the paper spools across, and there's the pin that makes a line, or seismographs for recording vibrations from earthquakes. Same basic thing. So there's your paper strip, there's the rollers or the spindles, there's your pin, and it just rolls along. And if nothing is happening, if no responses are being made, then you're just going to get a straight, flat line out of this. Rather boring, not terribly exciting, but there we go. So the cumulative recorder is the actual physical thing, physical machine, and the cumulative record is what it produces. In terms of recording responses, there we go, it's turned a little bit. Now, I'm doing this in little step increments here, but really the rollers just continuously move at a set speed. So let's say response was made, the pin steps up a little bit, and then we continue for some time with no response, and another response is made, the pin steps up, and so on, and so on. Now, sooner or later, as I said, we get to the top of the page, there's nothing we can really do. The next time a response is made, we're going to have to reset here. So at some point, the pin's going to get to the top of the page. It then just drops straight down. Skinner didn't build it so that the pin would lift off the page. As you could have, it would have saved ink, but mechanically it would have been a little more difficult. So we just get a straight line right back down to the bottom. That's simply what we call an artifact of the recording device. It's irrelevant with respect to recording the behavior of the subject. And then on the pin goes some more. Now, back in the day, certainly up until definitely the 1980s, this was all literally done in basically the same way Skinner did it in the early 1940s, with a physical machine spooling rolls of paper. In the late 80s, with the advent and introduction of personal computers, they started shifting, or at least some groups started shifting, onto just doing electronic collection. So this here, you'll notice there's little scroll bars down at the bottom here. That doesn't look like a physical piece of paper that you've scanned. It's not. Nowadays, practically everybody uses a computer version of the cumulative recorder. But just sort of based upon the fact that everyone's familiar with what the old school cumulative record looks like, that works in the field, it's kept the same sort of imaginary little paper strip that's not very high. Okay, this is a lot easier to deal with now. It's just on computer. You can print them out if you want, but most people don't. They just look at them on the computer. So let's this down here indicates a particular type of schedule of variable interval 25. Let's just take a look here. Now, as I said, this is really just a graph, even though it looks a bit funny. You took a pair of scissors and some glue. You could cut along the pin reset lines. So just cut there, take this little section that I've underlined with yellow, and just zoop, zip it up, and glue it in place there. Cut the next little section out, move it up, and so on. This suddenly starts to look rather more like a graph, with the x-axis being time, and the y-axis being number of responses. The reason it's being called a cumulative record is there is an accumulation of responses. And remember, the only way the cumulative record, the line goes down is with a pin reset. All right? If there is no responding, or if the response rate is decreasing, the pin will not go down. The slope of the line will go down until it hits zero, and that indicates no responding. So if this, you know, was getting slower, if the subject was starting to respond slower, you know, just follow the little pointer, it would sort of start leveling off and then just going flat. And that's what you'd see in an extinction process. It wouldn't suddenly head back towards zero, right? Because it's an accumulation. You can't go back to zero. There's already been however many responses made. There are a variety of different schedules of reinforcement that we can utilize. There's sort of four primary ones, and then a bunch of different ways of, additional ways of doing things. So we'll start with the four primaries first. First of these is called a fixed ratio schedule, usually abbreviated FR for simplicity. Ratio is just a fancy way of saying number, and fixed just means constant. So in a fixed ratio schedule, a certain number of responses are going to be required to produce the outcome. So if you have a fixed ratio 25, FR25, this would mean our little subject, let's say a rat, has to press the lever 25 times. The 25th time that lever is pressed, little chocolate M&M gets dropped into the food hopper, and you can go over and eat the little chocolate M&M. And he has to start over again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and so on until you get to 25. If he stops at 18, sorry, too bad, nothing. Okay, but every 25th response provides a reinforcer. There's a sort of special case of this, special term, we call this continuous reinforcement. Continuous reinforcement is a fixed ratio 1 schedule. So press the lever, get a peanut. Press the lever, get a peanut. Or whatever it is, M&M, jolt of dopamine to your brain, whatever you know, you're using, okay? So we call it continuous reinforcement because every response produces the reinforcing outcome. All right? So CRF, same thing as fixed ratio 1. Now, remember I said we get into fairly stereotypic, consistent patterns of response behavior? We see these in the cumulative record. You can describe it verbally if you want. We'll talk about that a little bit. But it's most easily seen in the record itself. So, a fixed ratio schedule, you typically see what's described in the literature as a rise and run pattern. So, here. The line on the record goes up, it's rising, then it runs along for a little bit, it goes flat, then it rises again, then it goes flat, and so, oh, pin reset, that doesn't matter, that doesn't count, back there, just keep going, still rising, there's a flat. Now, I've mentioned the pin resets here, so here's our responses. In this particular cumulative record, the computer is set to let it do 75 responses between a pin reset. So, look, I mean, you can't, like, in this little pace here, basically the line goes straight up. That means that within a few seconds, our rat made, I don't know, maybe 10 or so responses. So, remember, time is going along here. These big bars, like there's a dotted bar and there's a solid bar, those are time bars. Okay, it just indicates, in this particular computer program, it was set to 5 minutes. So that gives you an idea if the time from here to here is 5 minutes, right? And this little bit here, we're dealing with a few seconds. 5 seconds, maybe. In 5 seconds, the rat does bang, 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 bang. And the line just goes straight up. If it was doing it slower, this line would do tiny little steps one at a time, and you could count all 75 responses before the pin reset. Incidentally, this is the other beauty of doing this with computer software now. You can generally, with the better software, set this for whatever you want. You can set the time bars to be 1 minute, 5 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever you like. And you can set the number of responses between a pin reset to get me whatever you want. This is fairly standard. So about 75 and you know, sort of 5 minute increments for the markers. The time bar markers are simply there for marking. They have no effect on the subject's behavior whatsoever. Okay, so those would be the responses. Oops. These little slashes, I haven't really mentioned these, little, we call them ticks, or crossbars, those indicate when a reinforcer is being delivered. Okay? So a response on which a reinforcer is delivered. Now again, back in the day when Skinner did this with a mechanical device, he had it rigged with some little springs and pulleys and things for the little pin to go make a little scratch on the paper. We've just replicated this with the computer monitor. So these little ticks or these little slashes, these indicate when reinforcement is delivered. So a response on which the outcome is delivered. Okay, so that's what we call a run. That's a period where there are no responses, and there's our time bar. Okay, or pardon me, I'm sorry, excuse me. There's our pin resetting, where I showed you the time bars. Now, fixed ratio, respond, 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 get reinforced, goes flat, does a little run. In the flat part, there's no responding. This is very consistent. Once you get past about fixed ratio 7 or 8 for most subjects, then you get into this. If it's lower than fixed ratio 7 to 8, you may not get a nice rise and run, but as long as it's sort of above that, you're probably going to see it pretty consistently. The little run period, it's got a technical name. It's called a post-reinforcement pause. And that makes sense. Post after reinforcement. Well, look at the little tick. Okay. So here's our delivery of a reinforcer. Then there's a little pause. So the subject is not responding. Now you might say, well, that makes sense. The rat or the pigeon or whatever is busy stuffing its face with a chocolate chip or some pigeon seed or something like that. Ah, you see, that makes sense. But that's not actually what causes the post-reinforcement pause. What if we use electrical brain stimulation? There's nothing to actually consume. What if we did it with a person with points? 24, 25, bing, boom, 100 points, great. You don't have to eat those 100 points. You can collect the points and cash them in for something at the end of the study or whatnot, take a little pause. The pause is due to something else going on. It's not just about the consumption of a reinforcer. In fact, it's a little pause is caused by the expectation of how much work you have to do before you get to the next reinforcer. Think of it this way. You'd be very sort of anecdotal. You've got a bunch of chapters to study for, not this class, because you're done. You have a midterm to make a start, but for some other class maybe you're taking. So you've got a bunch of chapters that you have to read through in the next short while. So you read, say, okay, you know, get through the first chapter, take a break, do something else for a little bit, come back, take a break. Okay, so just a little sort of, and then on you go. It's not due to physical exhaustion is the interesting thing either. You can do things that really are very, very easy on the subject, and you don't see it as being a case of physical exhaustion. Typically, in a fixed ratio schedule, the only time you're going to see the subject really not responding for any length of time is on these post-reinforcement pauses, often abbreviated PRP, so post-reinforcement pause. You do get into sometimes what's called ratio strain. Ratio strain occurs when you've got a very high schedule, like maybe fixed ratio 200 or 300, something like that. When you get up to something like that, you find that the subject will sometimes start to take breaks before the reinforcer is delivered. Okay? So it's like that may be, again, probably not to a physical, well, some cases physical exhaustion, but other cases perhaps a little bit of cognitive exhaustion, something to that effect. But that's only, you only get into ratio strain if you've got really high schedules. Otherwise, in a fixed ratio, typically the subject keeps responding until it gets the reinforcer, takes a break, starts up again. So the rise and run pattern. Second schedule here is called variable ratio, VR. Well, the ratio is the same, based upon number. Variable just means, well, it varies. So the number of responses that need to be made before the outcome is delivered, before the reinforcer is delivered, will vary around some mean number, some average number of responses. So we've got a variable ratio 25. On average, over the long run, on average, we would expect reinforcement to be delivered every 25 responses. But on this particular trial, it could be after 6 responses. On the next trial, it could be 39 responses, 57, and 22, so on and so on. Over the long run, if you count up the number of responses and divide by the total number of reinforcers delivered, you get, we would expect, 25. If you had a variable ratio of 5, on average, every 5 responses. Okay? Now, on a variable ratio schedule, you get generally very few, practically no post-reinforcement pauses. This is simply because you never know when the next response is going to be reinforced. So, bang, 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 boom, you get reinforced. You know what? The very next response could be reinforced. On a fixed ratio, you know you're going to have to make a certain number of responses before you get the next reinforcer. On a variable ratio, it could be the very next one. Wouldn't you like to get it right now? So, you know, if you were to go to, oh, say, a casino, right, and watch people do bing, 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 hey, ding-a-ling-a-ling, bing. Video lottery terminals work on a variable ratio schedule. They're addictive as hell, right? People don't pause. Pause to scoop their winnings up or to go get another drink. Gambling and alcohol, yeah, that's no reason to think that people are going to make poor decisions when that happens. Ratio. People just keep going. Watch it sometime. You know, go by. Seriously, I mean, you know, go, if you're in Vegas, you know, just a lot of the casinos in Vegas have upper floors. Just watch people on the slot machine floors or the video lottery floors. Or even here at a casino in Edmonton. Just watch people play. They're like little automatons, zombies. Same thing. They don't take pauses. Well, they run out of money when they have to leave. But generally, are they to get more chips or whatever. But generally, very, very short post-reinforcement pauses. I've actually watched people in Vegas do this. You ever watch people, like some people will play like 3 machines at once? So it's like, chipping, 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 chipping. They'll play 3. And, I mean, they get possessive. Really possessive. Right? Little old ladies. I've watched Vegas seem to be the worst for this. Like if they have to get up and go to the bathroom, they come back and find you on, quote unquote, their machine. Oh, shit. I mean, it's going to get ugly because you're on their machine. It's like, I don't see your name on it, man. Whack a whack a whack a whack. So, currently, yeah, you know. But, oh, yeah. It's got all their money in it. It's theirs. Variable ratio. Variable ratio schedules are extremely addictive in this sense. I mean, get rats on it. Rats will just sit there. They'll just press the lever, get the food, press the lever, get the food, press the lever, get the food. Okay? Just don't stop pigeons. Same thing. People. Same thing. Okay? So what we tend to get on a variable ratio schedule is a fairly steep slope. Okay? Subjects tend to respond rapidly and consistently. I mean, there's occasionally little periods, you know, of no responding, so whatever. The rat here had an itchy butt and turned around to, like, scratch its butt or something like that, or it, something in the room went bang and it startled it and it looked around and what was going on. But, I mean, overall here, if you just sort of look at this, fairly rapid responding, no significant pauses or breaks. Here we see we've got a cluster of reinforcers that have been delivered in relatively, so from the bottom to the top is 75 responses, so we're probably looking at them as eyeballing this. About within about 25 responses, our subject got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 reinforcers. So this is a variable ratio 25 cumulative record here. On the other hand, over here, I mean, we're looking at about 50 responses between these two reinforcers. So you never know. I think there was only maybe, you know, 2 or 3 responses between these two reinforcers. You never know when it's going to come. Do you want to really take the chance that the next response you make is the one that's going to get re- Why don't you get that right now? No, that wasn't it, but the next one might be it. Well, you've made a few responses. It's got to be getting close. Okay, so variable ratio. Fixed interval. Well, we know what fixed means. Fixed means constant. Interval is based on time. So, reinforcement is delivered for the first response made after a set interval of time elapses. So if we've got a fixed interval, say 25 seconds, that means the first response made after 25 seconds is up, will deliver the reinforcer. Now, you can't sort of cheat this, right? A particularly clever rat can't go, huh, based on time, you know what? I'm going to go to sleep for an hour, press, and be buried in M&Ms. Very smart. Doesn't work like that. The first response after the time is elapsed delivers the singular reinforcer. If you wait an hour on a fixed rate, a fixed interval, 25 seconds, and press once, you get one. You have to press pretty much every 25, you know, as close to 25 seconds as you can get to maximize the reinforcers you're going to receive. Right? Now, the interesting thing here is we get a post-reinforcement pause. But it is, in fact, categorically different from the kind of post-reinforcement pause we see on a fixed ratio schedule. It's sometimes called scalloping from its shape. So if I sort of do a blow-up of this here, what you get is, the subject's responded, boom, it's gotten a reinforcer. Let's go from there. Let's say it's 25 seconds. Now, let's assume the subject has gotten used to the schedule, it's familiar with it. Okay, so you've just gotten reinforced. How long is it until the next one? 25 seconds. So should you respond right now? Well, no, that's stupid. 25 seconds, that wasn't even like a second. Why would you? Should you respond now? I don't know, talking for a little bit, but probably hasn't been 25 seconds. What about now? We're probably getting, maybe we should start, maybe. I gotta be getting close now. Oh, there it is. So what you get is a speeding up of responses as you get closer to the time, called a scallop, like a scallop shell. It's that sort of curve. Flat initially, increases. Consider the ever popular summer road trip with the family. Let's say that you're driving to see relatives in Winnipeg, the kids in the back of the car, perhaps it was you when you were a kid in the back of the car. Just your parents have just pulled out of the driveway of your house. Are the kids likely to go, are we there yet? I mean, some kids will just because they're jerks. Okay? I say this with love, with my response to my own children, but, you know, jerks. But after you've gone for a while,
Are you there yet? No. No, it's going to be another 3 days. Oh. Yeah. Are you there yet? But after we get through the first couple of days, the are you there yet is probably going to increase in frequency. Right? It's like, no? 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 Yes! Hey! Score. All right? So that's essentially what's happening. Subjects figure out to maximize the number of reinforcers they can get. They have to respond pretty close after the time is up. Any time that you waste, I mean, this is where it's funny. This is actually where you get some interesting differences working with, say, things like rats and pigeons and gerbils versus people, especially adult people. Kids figure this stuff out pretty quickly. Kids behave actually like younger kids generally behave pretty much like rats. They figure the schedules out pretty easily, and they just want to get as much as they can. And I'm down with that. That's cool. Yeah, I've seen adults do this sort of thing, like put them on a fixed interval, like whatever, 25-second, okay? And like, especially guys. I've seen a few guys do this. They sort of sit there, looking at the lever. And they'll let way more than 25 seconds go. Boom. Beep. They get the reinforcer. They sit back. And they just stare at the lever, waiting. So then we like 45 seconds may pass. Beep. And it's like they lose out on a whole bunch of reinforcers. And you ask them after, it's like, yeah, but I only had to respond once for each. Yeah, dude, you won. Okay. That was efficient. Depends how you count efficiency. Yeah, least strain on your finger? All right, sure. Maximum amount of reinforcers? Yeah, definitely not. Yeah, you lost out on about half of them. But, oh yeah, only had to respond once. Okay? So, grown-ups sometimes do some really weird stuff. Okay? Kids that aren't, you know, hampered with a lot of language or cultural expectations, pretty much like rats. I mean, they may not be able to articulate it exactly, right? I mean, you know, I've seen four-year-olds, like, so what do you think was happening here? So I had to sit for a while, and then I'd start pressing the lever, and then I'd get a peanut, chocolate peanut, and then nothing would happen for a while, so I'd wait. Then I'd start pressing the lever, and I'd get a peanut. And that's basically it. I mean, they're not saying, well, I think a certain amount of time has to pass before the first response, but I mean, they basically got it. I mean, right? The kid has figured it out. The rat has figured it out. You know, the tough grown-up. Score. So anyways, you do get a post-reinforcement pause here, but it's just waiting, okay? So the post-reinforcement pause in a fixed interval is just based on the passage of time. It would be kind of pointless to start responding immediately after you get the reinforcer. It's not because you've got any expectation about how much work you have to do. I mean, if I were to put you in this situation and I gave you a stopwatch, right? It's like, boom, you've got reinforcement. Click. 25 now. Boom, reinforcement. Start it over. Yeah, in that case, you just have to make one response. Great. You're cheating. You've got a stopwatch, okay? If I don't give you the stopwatch, how good do you think you are at estimating time? One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four Mississippi. We're not bad at estimating time. I mean, some people are better than others. Some rats are better than others. But it involves time estimation. Right? So, you know what? You might as well start responding a bit early. It's like, I'm pretty sure it probably hasn't been 25 seconds yet. But I'm going to go a little bit. You know, I might as well just keep going, 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 going. Oh, there it is. Okay, better be a little bit early than a little bit late. I mean, honestly, the thing that can change this is if the response is really strenuous.
If it's not just like I have to press a lever or make a phone call or do whatever, if it's something that's like really tough, right? You know, you got to drive across town, open, you know, a door in a building, go down to the basement, crawl through a sewer, and pop up to the, for a chance of winning free tickets to a pancake breakfast, all based on some sort of bizarre fixed interval schedule, odds are you may wait to make sure you've got it, okay? But for most cases, when the response isn't really too hard, typically you don't respond right after getting reinforced, you wait for a bit, and then you start responding more and more rapidly, okay? So that's the post-reinforcement clause. It's a pattern called scalloping. Last of the big four, variable interval. Variable means random, interval means time, so variable interval, VI 25 second would mean it varies around 25 seconds. On average, 25 seconds will have to pass, the first response being made after that will get reinforced, but you really don't know. Now, because of this, because you can't tell with any certainty, right? You respond, you get reinforced. The next one may be 25 seconds later, it could be 3 seconds later, it could be 62 seconds later. You don't know. What if it's coming up 3 seconds later? I mean, you don't know that, but do you want to sit there for 25, 30 seconds waiting? Even 15 seconds. If you wait 15 seconds, you could have gotten that reinforcer 12 seconds earlier. You lost 12 seconds of possible reinforcement. Remember, the clock isn't going to start up again until you pick up that previous reinforcer that's waiting. The longer the reinforcer is waiting to be picked up, the fewer reinforcers you will get in the long run. Let's say you've got 1 hour. You're a rat. You've got 1 hour in the chamber. You want to get as many of these little chocolate M&Ms as you possibly can. Who wouldn't? Well, maybe a diabetic rat. But most rats are going to want, you know, as many as they can get. If they just sit there and wait, they're losing out on a bunch. So, what we tend to find in a variable interval is a moderate but steady rate of responding. There's no post-reinforcement pauses, because, as I said, a few seconds could pass, or 1 second could pass, or a half a second could pass, and there could be a reinforcer waiting. On the flip side, you don't really need to go hyper-fast either. You don't need to sit there, because it is based on a passage time. So on a variable ratio, you tend to get pretty rapid responding. On a variable interval, it's steady responding, but it's not as rapid. So it's called moderate, okay? So maybe you're responding every few seconds. Why do you think we see a difference between the variable ratio variable interval? Why respond as fast as you can, or at least, why respond faster on the variable ratio? Yep. Exactly. It is something you can control. In a ratio schedule, you, or the rat, is in control. You make the responses, you get the reinforcers. The more responses you make in a set period of time, the more you will get. In an interval system, it's not up to you. The researcher, the parent, the casino, some sort. If you're to set this up in some weird way in a casino, I don't think it'd be a popular game, but it'd be set up by the house, okay? Interval schedules are set up by someone else. All you can hope to do is get as many as are possibly available. If you've got something on a fixed interval 60 seconds, you can get 60 in an hour. If you are perfect, you will get 60. Odds are you'll probably get a few less. That would be if you're perfect. You've got to watch the 60, bang. On a fixed ratio 60, faster you can make 60 responses, the more you get. Same idea here for the variable interval and the variable ratio. The faster you respond to the ratio, the more you can get. On the interval, you'll get, if you're perfect, somehow perfect, you'll just get the maximum that is possible by the set, by the determination of what schedule you are on. That's it. So there's no point, you know, killing yourself doing this. There's no point being really fast on a variable interval. If it's a variable interval 60 and you're in there for an hour, yeah, if you were perfect, you'd get 60. But, you know, you may get a kind of sore, your little rat sore wrist whacking the lever really quick. You know what? If you get 57, 56, 58 reinforcers, it's pretty good. And so you miss a reinforcer by a couple of seconds. In the long run, that's no biggie. So this is what we tend to see. We tend to see a fairly, you know, steady rate of responding here. Not a lot of pauses, but we don't tend to see a really rapid one. So might be easier to look here. So compare them. Again, these are from particular individual rats, these cumulative records. They're fairly indicative, fairly typical, on average of other rats or, for that matter, people. So these are, but they are just from individuals here. So four cumulative records from four different rats. And here's what we saw before. There's the rise. There's the run. Okay. Here's our variable ratio. Look, the slope is quite steep, so very rapid responding. The fixed interval, overall, fairly shallow responding, but that's because it's based on fixed time periods. You might as well wait for a while. And here's our variable interval. Now, looking at all that is it's fine, but it's often nice to be able to deal with this in a more sort of hard and fast number. So we use what are called response rates. The response rate is the number of responses made in the unit of time. Basically, all it is, sort of thing, you probably learned it in grade school, it's the calculation of slope. It's your rise divided by your run. Okay? So, amount that you go up on your y-axis divided by the amount you've traveled on your x-axis. All right? So I've calculated slopes for these four particular records coming off of individual rats. And just for these four rats, we get a very high slope, so 75. So this works out to be like almost 75 responses per minute for the VR, about 40 responses per minute. For our fixed ratio, 30-odd. For our variable interval, and maybe 18 or so for the fixed interval. Not always going to be exactly the same, but just for these particular records, this is what we get. Typically, all other things being equal, we usually find that ratio schedules will have a higher rate of responding than comparable interval schedules. Okay? And again, all other things being equal, we typically find that the variable are a bit faster, have a bit higher response rate than the fixed. Okay. Now, in the case of your fixed ratio, that's partially due to an artifact. When we calculate our response rates. So I've just taken, let's say I've taken from here, from this time marker to there. So let's do something really simple just for illustrative purposes. I've sampled over 5 minutes. Okay, so I take the number of responses here. I mean, there's 75, there's almost 75. It almost gets up to the top, so maybe 70, and there's another 50 or so. Okay, so I've calculated the number of responses that are made, divided by 5 minutes, and there you go. But look what I'm doing. I'm also including a whole bunch of time, post-reinforcement pauses, where the rat's not responding at all. If I were to only calculate my response rate during the rise portion, I'm going to have something that's pretty much the same as your variable ratio here. Okay? So a little bit of an artifact here in the way we record this. Right? It's simpler to do this way. It's easier. you know, sometimes as well, like, is there an example here on this one? No. Oh, well. It's not a great example, this one a little bit. Sometimes, you know, these post-reinforcement causes aren't completely flat. They're mostly flat. Maybe a couple of responses get tossed in there. Should you treat that then as a post-reinforcement pause or not? It's a value judgment, right, for doing your response rates. So the standard way to do it, the consistent way to do it, is just make your response rates over the entire time, not worrying about removing post-reinforcement pause. Okay, anyway, so response rate. That's the pretty typical way of doing this. Now, notice when we use response rate as an indicator of behavior, that's what we've got. I mean, I can't tell you from looking at these cumulative records whether the rat is pressing the lever with its right paw, with its left paw, with both paws, whether it's sitting on it. I have no idea. None of that behavior is being recorded. All we've got here is the response rate. Okay? Now, if you're interested in the particular form of the behavior response, this probably is not the ideal way. I mean, if you want to know the topography of the response, this is not the ideal way of collecting data. Right? But if what you're really interested, you know, if you're just interested in using response rate as a measure of learning or performance or something, then this is fine. Again, it really depends what you are trying to get out of your data in terms of how you're going to collect data and do your analysis. Now, I said that there are four biggies of our schedules, so fixed ratio, variable ratio, fixed interval, variable interval. But there are other ways that schedules of reinforcement can be set up. Duration schedules, for example. In a duration schedule, the subject has to, let's just call it, continuously respond for some period of time to receive the outcome, to receive the reinforcement. So imagine you've got a kid playing, you know, practicing piano. Okay, so, you know, if the kid's expected to play piano for 30 minutes, you know, a night as practice, and if the kid does that, then whatever gets his allowance for the week or, you know, whatever it is. But got to go for 30 minutes. I mean, sure, there's going to be brief pauses in there as you pull out another piece of sheet music or, you know, whatever happens. But for all intents and purposes, you got to practice for the half hour. Okay? That would be a fixed duration. Okay? A variable duration, very around a mean. If it's like, on average, 30 minutes, right, you know, supposed to, but let's say the kid, you know, gets going a little bit late, and, you know, dad's hockey game is on and doesn't want to have the sound of badly played piano in the background, okay, so it's like, okay, that's enough tonight, you know, sort of thing, then maybe, you know, only has to play 25 minutes that night, but, you know, then dad goes, oh, yeah, last night he didn't play quite long enough, I should make him play a bit longer, it's like, can I stop yet, no, not yet, whatever, I'm drinking in the kitchen and don't want you to watch me. The piano, it hurts my ears. Okay. So maybe next night, you know, 37 minutes of practice, whatever. But so there's the idea. Variable, fixed, you got that. Duration, it just means you got to more or less perform the response for, you know, fairly consistently for some set duration. Okay? Differential rates. We've actually already encountered DR schedules, so let's go through them in this contextualization, though. So differential reinforcement of low rates, DRL. There's various ways of specifically setting it up, but it's the idea here that's important. So reinforcement will be delivered only if, you could set it up this way, only if X amount of time has passed since the last response was made. Or you could say, you know, you only get reinforced if you make fewer than X number of responses in this time period. I think your textbook describes it in the second way there. But they work out the same way. The basic idea here is you only get the reinforcer if you're responding slowly. I had a high school English teacher, Mr. Pym, and he said that the small town he grew up in, the thing that was done in the town for employment was they made lawnmowers, a lawnmower factory. He said, so, every other kid, 16, he goes and gets a job at the lawnmower factory for the summer. And his job was putting wheels on the lawnmower. So it's an assembly line, a body would come down and a big bin of wheels there. He'd have to put the wheels on the body and then roll it down to the next workstation. And so, fine first day there, just putting wheels on lawnmowers, rolling them down. It's not exactly rocket science, right? Nowadays, this would probably all be done, well, maybe it wouldn't be done automated nowadays. I don't know. Still have a lot of semi-skilled labor force. But he said, it's not hard. So he's just putting wheels on, pushing them along, trying to do a good job. Lunch bell rings. The foreman comes over. It's like, Pam, what the hell are you doing? Well, it seems like a bit of a trick question, honestly. It's like, putting wheels on lawnmowers? It's like, how many wheels? Four? Not per lawnmower you do. Look, Pim, the union just negotiated with management. We convinced them that we can only make, I can't remember what the number was, one person can only, we can only put out 50 lawnmowers a day. You've put wheels on 50 lawnmowers just in the morning. You're making us look bad. You need, all I can do is 50. You say, yeah, if you can't slow it down to 50 a day, we'll make you slow down. It's like, okay, no problem. Nice to start a new job. Be threatened with having your wrist broken or something on the first day. Said, okay, fine. So I can only make 50 a day. Do you care when during the day I make them? What do you mean? I mean, you can't come back in the middle of the night. Says, I don't know. It's like, so I can make 50 before lunch. So how about if I make 50 before lunch and then I'll take my lunch, and I'll go sit behind that tree, and for the rest of the day, I'll just sit behind that tree and read. Okay. Weird, but reading all day. Sure, fine. Best job, he said, best job he ever had. He got paid for half of his day just to sit behind a tree reading, English teacher. Right, go work in the morning, work for 3.5 hours. He'd go off, sit for 3.5 hours, plus lunch and break. And okay, but differential reinforcement alone, you've got to slow it down. So, what you sometimes get out of this, we're going to talk about this a little later, what's called superstitious behaviors. Notice they're in quotation marks, it means we don't know that they're a real superstition. But sometimes you find subjects will engage in irrelevant behaviors that perhaps just maybe take up some time. So if you're only reinforcing the pigeon for, at a low rate, so DRL, the pigeon can peck pretty fast, okay? But if it goes too fast, it's not going to get reinforced. So to slow down, maybe the pigeon pecks and then walks over to the other side of the cage and then walks back. Pecks, then walks over to another side of the cage, then walks back. It doesn't have to walk, right? Could just stand there and peck slowly. Maybe it's got some problems doing that. So, we call it, it's almost like it's got a superstition. It believes it has to walk from one side of the cage to back. It probably isn't really a superstition. Could be a timing issue, who knows. But it slows it down. Okay, so DRLs. Differential reinforcement at high rates, DRH, basically the opposite. In this case, you only get reinforced if you make more than a certain number of responses in a period of time, trying to increase the rate of responding. So if you have to, make 10 responses in 10 seconds, if you only do 9 responses, you don't get any reinforcement. You do 9 responses in 10 seconds, make the 10th response, second number 12. Sorry, you get nothing for those 10 responses. You got to start over with one. You better do them within the 10 seconds.
Okay, so this increases. Most factories that use assembly line process that don't have unions arguing you can only do a set number work on this sort of thing. They're actually trying. They implement DRHs to try to speed things up. Okay. Non-contingent schedules. In the case of a non-contingent schedule, reinforcement delivery just simply is not contingent on any sort of passage of time. So there's two, what I call a fixed time and a variable time. Basically here, this should read, not contingent on the... is contingent upon the passage of time. Let's fill this in. Okay. Let's do that. Sorry, little typo. This should read, reinforcement delivery is contingent upon a passage of time, but not responses. So, if you're on a fixed time schedule, FT, after some time elapses, after, say, 30 seconds elapses, bloonk, a reinforcer is delivered. This is different from a fixed interval. So if you had a fixed interval, 30 seconds, the first response you make after 30 seconds are up, that's what gets you the reinforcer. On a fixed time, 30 seconds passes, blink, there's the reinforcer. You don't have to do anything, right? I mean, you can do something if you want, but you're not getting reinforced because of that. It's just every 30 seconds, blink, reinforcer shows up. On a variable time, okay, it's random, right? Like 8 seconds, blink, something shows up. 52 seconds, blink, something shows up. You don't know. But again, you don't have to do anything, right? Okay, so non-contingent schedules. No responses are actually required. And we talked about this essentially last class when we talked about a way of reducing undesired behaviors. If, you know, if you've got a kid that's looking for praise and you just periodically praise the kid for whatever or no good reason, whether it's just like, hey, you're doing great here. Get some attention. You know, it's like, how you doing? Come by, give some attention. It's like, fine, I guess. Doesn't have to misbehave. So non-contingent schedules. No responses are required. Just the passage of time occurs. Yeah. Go away. Well, I'll get back to choice. I just made a choice, you see? I decided to end class now, all right? So, see you next class. I've still got a few assignments up here, assignments one, assignments two. If you don't have yours, feel free to come by and pick them up.